4:30 and 89 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Courtney Howe.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
One of the things about Eastern Kentucky that I think we need to do, though, is we need to acknowledge that the problem is a profound problem.
Kentucky's junior senator says it will take a lot of hard work to fix the economy in the state's Appalachian region.
Ohio Governor John Kasich made an appearance at the White House today.
Moorhead officials are pondering ways to build new facilities for their police and fire departments.
In sports, the Rowan County football team hopes to celebrate homecoming in style with a win tonight.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight with lows in the upper 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The Kentucky State Police in Moorhead are reporting a one-vehicle accident that occurred at 11 this morning on Kentucky 1274 in Moorhead. 20-year-old Destiny Brewer of Moorhead was traveling westbound when she lost control in a curve and struck a tree. The Moorhead Fire Department and Round County EMS extracted Brewer, and she was airlifted to UK Hospital in Lexington with non-life-threatening injuries.
The trial of a Lawrence County, Ohio man on 54 counts of rape will be rescheduled, but a new date has not been set. That's according to the Ironton Tribune, which reports that Charles Ferris is accused of assaulting a child over a seven-year period that began in October of 2008. The alleged victim is now 9 years old. Ferris was to stand trial later this month, but his new counsel has requested more time from Common Pleas Judge Charles Cooper to review the case.
According to WSAZ, the Fade Drug Task Force seized crystal meth, anabolic steroids, and marijuana during a raid in Grayson Wednesday night. Law enforcement officers reportedly confiscated 38 grams of methamphetamine during the bust in the 700 block of Main Street. They are said to have found the drugs after prying a safe open. The task force is continuing its investigation and anticipates making arrests soon.
Republican Governor Matt Bevin says the state has resolved a funding issue for a project to build a statewide broadband network. A group of private companies has borrowed $289 million to build the network. Kentucky officials had promised to pay the companies about $28 million a year for internet service, including $13 million from the state's public school districts. But state officials soon found they could not use the money from the public school districts, creating a $13 million gap. Finance Secretary William Landrum said the state has signed several agreements with private telecom companies that will save the state more than $10 million. He also said the state plans to sell excess capacity from the network to private companies. Bevin said the project will be finished and has the absolute commitment of this administration.
Kentucky U.S. Senator Rand Paul says the problems with the economy in the eastern part of the state are so profound that it will take extreme measures and a lot of time to solve them. However, the Republican believes he has one idea that can help start the region's ball rolling in the right direction.
I've proposed a 10-year hiatus on most federal taxes to try to create a tax haven, but not for a year or two and not for a small amount, for a very large amount. This would be a $5 billion plan for eastern Kentucky. It'd be nearly $1 billion for West Louisville, and I'd do it for 10 years. I think it's going to take that long to rejuvenate the economy.
Paul says the federal government can spur economic growth in the region and across the country by lowering its corporate tax rate of 35%, which is the highest in the world, and by eliminating some expensive regulations on American companies. According to Paul, those things are limiting their ability to add jobs and compete on a global scale.
Ohio Governor John Kasich appeared at the White House today at President Obama's invitation to voice his support for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The 12-nation trade deal is opposed by both major candidates for president, but Obama is hoping for passage of the accord before he leaves office. Kasich is a Republican who sought his party's nomination for president earlier this year. He says the TPP is a good idea.
It's really pretty simple. Economically, trade always makes sense. Are there losers in trade? Yes, there are. And that's why it's important that we have a system that can retrain people for the jobs of the future. Frankly, if you don't trade, you hurt consumers. If you don't trade, you hurt innovation. If you don't train, you withdraw from the world.
Kasich says he's not worried about the political backlash he might endure by helping a Democratic president during an election year.
While incomes in the state are growing, new Census Bureau members show that 18.5% of Kentuckians lived in poverty last year. Economic analyst John Bailey says there is a lot of work that remains in trying to solve the problem. Bailey notes that the Bureau's statistics show that while Kentucky's jobless rate has decreased and its median household income rose by $2,000 last year, there's still a regional divide.
The more urban parts of the state, their economies have recovered, they're growing quickly, wages are growing, folks are better off. In the more rural parts of the state, there's been job loss and nothing has come in to replace those jobs.
Bailey notes that Kentucky's poverty rate is worse among children and African Americans. The Census Bureau says a third of the state's black population live in poverty, as do a quarter of the Commonwealth's kids.
Vanceburg's plan to demolish an old downtown manufacturing plant is now in limbo. The former L.V. Marx shoe factory has been in major disrepair for years and has become a hazard. While the state has okayed tearing it down, the Maysville Ledger Independent reports the Kentucky Heritage Council Office for Historic Preservation has asked for documentation on the building to ensure that other historic structures around Kentucky aren't needlessly razed. Mayor Matt Ginn says officials are working on that paperwork, and he hopes the demolition work can begin soon. Ginn says it'll be good when the dilapidated structure is finally gone.
That area of the town or whatever, it's kind of went to nothing. Just anytime you have a factory or something that's left alone like that or something like that, area, just nobody wants to live around and nobody wants to build around it. You don't get very nothing nice. So getting it out of the way, getting it cleaned up, it should allow for the actual town to grow or get a little bit nicer area down there.
Ginn says plans right now call for building an assisted living facility on the spot of the old shoe factory.
$2 million are being spent on construction projects in the Portsmouth area during the current construction season. The Portsmouth Daily Times reports that the Ohio Department of Transportation is resurfacing U.S. 52, paving the eastbound lanes of 11th Street from the Western Corporation limit to New Boston, and remediating potential rock falls along U.S. 52 West. The 11th Street project includes sidewalk construction and the installation of curb ramps.
Officials in Moorhead are still trying to figure out how to build new facilities for the city's police and fire departments. While the initial hope was to construct a building that would house both agencies, Mayor Jim Tom Trent says they've had a hard time finding a suitable location for such a structure.
We think we have something, and we go through the process and get so far, and then it's not going to work for one reason or other. It's not enough space, it's not enough turnaround space, too close to the road, not close enough to the road, cost too much for the land, can't have it because of overhead wires, because of a fire. So there's so many different things. It's just hard to explain to somebody that they think, well, surely you can find a piece of land, and you would think that. But there's so many factors.
Trent says the city is now looking at building a new police station on the spot where the department's current home is located, but adds they'll still have to find a piece of property for the new fire station. At this point, Trent says they're reviewing two or three possible places for it. The city wants to limit its spending on its new police and fire stations to $4 to $5 million.
Computer and communication systems at all Appalachian Regional Healthcare System facilities in Kentucky and West Virginia are now back online more than 2 weeks after a computer virus infected all electronic services. The Register Herald of Beckley reports Appalachian Regional said on its website that operations are returning to normal this week following the late August cyber attack. In a statement, ARH Vice President for Medical Affairs, Dr. Maria Brahman, said officials do not believe the intruder accessed patients' or employees' health or financial information. Federal authorities are investigating the attack. All ARH computers had been shut down to prevent the virus from spreading. It's unclear where the virus came from.
Workers have nearly finished $15 million in repairs at a Madison County chemical weapons destruction plant. Here's Tom Latek.
The general contractor for the plant says repairs to 4,000 defective piping welds should be completed in November. The complex was built to dismantle and destroy chemical weapons and nerve gas rockets stored at the Bluegrass Army Depot in Richmond. Despite the repairs, the facility is still scheduled to start operations in 4 years. I'm Tom Latek.
Journalism faculty and staff members at the University of Kentucky are joining together against the lawsuit aimed at their student-run newspaper. We get the story from KNN's Haley Hansen.
15 faculty members from UK are asking University President Eli Capilouto to apologize and drop the university's lawsuit against the Kentucky Colonel. The letter to Capilouto said his remarks that the paper published, quote, salacious details to attract readers, challenged the paper's reputation. The lawsuit stems from documents sought relating to a sexual assault investigation involving a former professor. A university spokesman says the case is being handled properly in court. I'm Haley Hansen.
Attorney General Andy Beshear says Republican Governor Matt Bevin's decision to abolish and replace the University of Louisville's Board of Trustees could affect the accreditation of all the state's public universities. During a hearing on Thursday, the Democrats' office presented testimony from an expert on accreditation who said all of the state's public colleges and universities would have trouble keeping their accreditation if the governor was allowed to replace their boards at any time. Bevin's attorney, Steve Pitt, noted nothing in state law requires universities to be accredited at all, and he said the state legislature has the final say over Bevin's actions. It will reconvene in January after the fall elections. Franklin County Circuit Judge Philip Shepard will rule on the case soon. Any decision will likely be appealed to the state Supreme Court.
WFPL Radio's Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting has filed a lawsuit against the University of Louisville Foundation to force release of documents. WFPL reports the Kentucky Attorney General has ruled that the foundation violated Kentucky open records law by refusing to release documents to the center. The lawsuit was filed Thursday in Jefferson County Circuit Court. It seeks an injunction to force the foundation to release ethics and disclosure forms along with payroll and financial documents the center first requested in February. WFPL said the foundation has said the records requests were burdensome because they were overly broad and blanket in nature.
Main Street of Moorhead will be the site of tomorrow of the 6th Annual Arts and Eats Festival. It will run from 11 to 4 and will feature 80 craft and food vendors. Ash Gillum is the Rowan County Arts Center's director and the festival's lead coordinator.
Not only is this a great family event and it's kind of a fall festival feel, but I think that a lot of people like the idea of having a fun family day and raising money for charities and nonprofits.
Proceeds from this year's Arts and Eats Festival will go to Gateway Children's Advocacy Center and Build-A-Bed, as well as Downtown Moorhead and the RCAC. Tickets are $5 apiece and can be purchased online or at the event.
The Ohio River National Freedom Coordinator has partnered with Maysville Community and Technical College to host the 2016 Regional Underground Railroad Conference. The conference begins at 4 p.m. in Maysville on October 1st. Tours of the surrounding area will be held on September 30th and October 2nd. Rita Thomas is the executive director of the ORNFC and says the conference is concerning with preserving the Underground Railroad's legacy.
With the things that are going on in our modern day world, where the struggle for freedom still continues to combat inequality and racism that still exists. And so if we can see how the struggles happened historically, we can see that legacy that still persists both positively and negatively in our modern day society.
The conference will feature several guest speakers, workshop sessions, and educational panels. The conference will also honor the late Jerry Gore with the 2016 Bold Courage Award. More information, visit the ORNFC's website.
All of the student parking zone passes have been sold at Moorhead State, but there are plenty of parking spaces left. That's according to the president of the Student Government Association, Adam Abbott.
O spots we have, I think, around 990-ish, and then the S total is over 1,300, and then the AZ total is 740 right now. Once the parking garage is completely finished, we will be adding more parking there. Another thing that's been in the discussion is maybe making new parking lots and opening up more spots, because right now there's a lot of e-spots and reserve spots that aren't taken up yet.
Abbott notes, although the parking spaces on campus may not be at the students' greatest convenience, it doesn't mean there's not enough. Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight. Mostly cloudy skies. There's a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Those will be in the upper 60s. Your Saturday will be mostly cloudy. There's a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures will be in the mid-80s. Your Saturday night will be cloudy. There's a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-60s. Your Sunday will be mostly cloudy, a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Sunday as well, highs around 80 degrees, and Sunday night will be mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the lower 60s. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's 90 degrees in Ashland, 89 degrees in Flemingsburg, Inez, and Winchester. It's 91 degrees in Lexington, and here on the campus of Morehead State University, it's 89 degrees.
On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Morehead State University Professor John Modath. He examines an odd linguistic tradition that seems to confer royal titles on private citizens.
My hero, Thomas Paine, American legend, iconoclast, spent considerable ink and paper explaining, in his unique way, that we do not have a king, nor do we want one. Or rather, that royalty is not part of the American fabric, never has been, never will be. Seems that neither of those are so true anymore. Now, we can surmise what people think by hearing them explain their thinking, or we can study their behavior, including the words they choose to utter, and infer what they are thinking. For example, if someone claims linguistic competence by stating firmly, "I know how to talk real good," one learns more from the form of the utterance than the denotative content. In that sense, let us examine one of the oddest evolutions in American political talk and newspeak, the de facto lifetime appointment. A perfect example occurred the other day. In reporting on the Democrat candidate Hillary Clinton's health scare on 9/11, the Washington Post referred to her as the secretary. Most of the time, when she is referred to by the press that has endorsed her either tacitly or openly, she is referred to as the secretary. Newsflash, though, she hasn't been Secretary of State for years. John Kerry is Secretary of State. And no, we don't have two at once. Her appointment was not for life. She's not the secretary. No one should call her anything but former Secretary of State, if they wish to highlight her resume at all. I know this odd linguistic habit of lifetime appointment kicks in with all sorts of people besides Hillary Clinton. People still call G.W. Bush president. Why, they still even call the thoroughly disgraced Bill Clinton president. These people are ex-presidents. Takes less than a second to add that all-important X. The X matters, because it confirms one of our points of greatness. We do not have rule by lineage or by lifetime appointment. As Harry Truman noted just minutes before he handed off power to the next administration, to paraphrase, "If I say something now, the whole world will know it in 15 minutes. If I say something after leaving the White House, no one will care." That's precisely how it ought to be. So let's stop calling X's by names suggesting they are not X's. They are not governors, secretaries, or presidents for life. There is no need to violate one of our proudest tenets, that is, the revulsion against royalty, by insisting in regal titles for private citizens. Power ought to come and to go. Power ought not to be purported or forced to remain through feckless and reckless linguistic traditions. I'm John Modath.
Dr. John Modath is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. The time is 4:48, and you're listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton Howard has sports after these messages.
Support for MSBR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and near the Morehead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud with homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. More information at 784-5457. The Round County Farmers Market is a certified Kentucky Proud Market.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Round County football team hopes to celebrate homecoming with its first win of the season. Coach Gene Peterson's 0-4 Vikings will take the field at Paul Ousley Stadium tonight at 7:30 to tangle with 2-2 Grant County.
For us, it can be a very, very winnable football game. I think we kind of match up fairly even with them. So hopefully with homecoming this weekend, that all momentum will be on our side.
Grant's Braves beat Round County 36-22 last year in the first ever meeting between the two teams. Elsewhere, Elsewhere in area prep football tonight, the 2-1 Russell is at home to face unbeaten Boyd County. Russell coach T.J. Maynard thinks it'll be a close contest and says the final result will hinge on one thing.
That thing comes down every week, comes down to who controls up front. Whoever wins the battles in the trenches, that's who the guys are going to win the game.
Elsewhere, East Carter will try to end its two-game losing streak as the Raiders host Fairview. East coach Tim Champlin says it's critical to the Raiders' defense limit the big plays.
We've got to make somebody consistently drive the football down the entire field, put a drive together, and score. And we've been unable to do that this year. We either hold them to force a punt or we allow big plays. And we've got to play great defense all the time and not just sometimes.
Other games, Ashland Blazer visits Irington, Greenup travels to Lawrence, Morgan is at McGoffin, and Powell heads to Lewis. The Morehead State football Eagles are at Jane Stadium tomorrow night at 6 to meet Lincoln of Pennsylvania. Coach Rob Tenier says MSU could have its hands full with the Division II Lions, who have a lot of size and athleticism on both sides of the ball.
They got some guys that are big. They got big fronts on both sides of the football. They've got probably an All-American candidate at running back, to Scott Kidd. He's really, really talented. And so we're going to have to contain him. And, pretty vanilla, really, on both sides of the football. You kind of know what you're going to get.
The 0-2 Eagles hope to earn a win before starting PFL play next weekend at Drake. Lincoln has a 1-1 record. College football's biggest game tomorrow takes place at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium as 10th-ranked Louisville entertains number 2 Florida State at noon. U of L coach Bobby Petrino is excited about having the Cardinals go toe-to-toe with the Seminoles.
It's a great matchup. Certainly something we've looked forward to. We've worked hard to try to get to this point. So now we've got to put everything we can into preparing like we always do. One of the things that I believe is we don't have to do something extraordinary to win the game. We just got to play good, solid Louisville Cardinal football.
The 2-0 Cardinals have been explosive offensively this year. Behind sophomore quarterback Lamar Jackson, they've already scored 132 points and have 1,500 yards of total offense. Needing a win badly, the Kentucky football team is at Commonwealth Stadium tomorrow at 4 p.m. to square off with New Mexico State. UK coach Mark Stoops says despite the Wildcats' 0-2 start, he hasn't lost confidence in his plan for success, although he admits certain adjustments may need to be made.
You always have to stay the course. You can't have knee-jerk reactions, but you'd be a fool to not say that you have to look at things. Some things got to change. Some things got to get better, and that's our job as a coach, and that's my job, and I understand that.
Tomorrow will mark the first-ever meeting between UK and the Aggies. The Bengals visit their AFC North rival this weekend, AP correspondent Robert Sir reports.
The Pittsburgh Steelers look to improve to 14-2 in home opener since 2001 when they host the division rival Cincinnati Bengals Sunday. The Steelers enter Sunday's game coming off a dominating 38-16 win over the Washington Redskins in Week 1, while the Bengals needed a last-second field goal to squeak by the New York Jets 23-22. Pittsburgh has won 5 of 6 over Cincinnati, including the last time they met, a thrilling come-from-behind 18-16 win in last season's AFC wildcard game in Cincinnati. Robert Sir, Pittsburgh.
The Cincinnati Reds open up a 4-game homestand with the Pirates tonight. With just 17 games left in the season, the Reds sit at 62-83 on the year. Left fielder Adam Duvall has been one of the few bright spots for the Reds this season. Duvall is hitting .240 with 30 home runs and 89 RBIs.
I think I just tried to carry over what I've been doing, in the past and just grinded bats out, be a tough out at the plate and, try to play good defense. And I think, I've been able to put together some good stretches there. And, so I'm looking forward to try to keep that going.
First pitch tonight is at 7:10. 2-1 Robert Stevenson will take the mound for the Reds. And finally in sports, the Morehead State volleyball team improved its record to 4-7 on the year by defeating Coppin State earlier today in the Comfort Inn Invitational. Head coach Jamie Gordon says he likes the development he's seen from his team so far.
Obviously, we'd like to be a little bit further along, but some of that is at times out of our control, whether it be through an injury or sickness or something there. But overall, I feel like we are improving, and I think when it's all said and done, we'll be where we need to be at the right time of the season.
MSU will play Kent State this evening at 7 and Montana tomorrow at 2 p.m. That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football will host the Lincoln University Lions tomorrow night as part of MSU's Family Weekend. Game time is set for 6 p.m. Tickets from the Moorhead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower but posted weekly gains as investors digested key inflation data and looked ahead to next week's Federal Reserve meeting. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 88.68 at 18,123.8. The S&P 500 was down 8.1 at 2139.16. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 5.12 at 5244.57. New York Stock Exchange breadth was almost 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. The three major indices, as mentioned, posted weekly gains despite the amount of volatility investors have encountered. The Dow has recorded three triple-digit moves on a closing basis as of Thursday's close and came close to that today, but the Dow was up about 0.2% on the week. The S&P and the NASDAQ both notched weekly gains, the S&P up about 0.5% and the NASDAQ up 2.3%. The Labor Department said its consumer price index rose 0.2% last month after being unchanged in July, and this was greater than expected by the markets. And for the 12 months through August, the CPI has increased 1.1%. Market expectations for a Fed rate hike next week rose slightly after the data release but remained relatively low. According to the CME Group, market expectations for a September rate hike rose to 15%, obviously still a low level from 12% previously. In oil markets, U.S. crude settled 2% lower at $43.03 a barrel as oversupply concerns weighed on the commodity. Baker Hughes reported U.S. drillers increased the number of rigs operating in the U.S. by 2 in the previous week, for a total of 416. At this time last year, drillers had 644 rigs in U.S. fields. Among Dow industrial stocks today, your best performers were Intel and United Health Group, and your worst performers were United Technologies and Chevron. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were Western Digital and Intel, and your worst performers in the S&P 500 were Range Resources and Oracle. And overseas, European markets were down and had their worst week since June. In Asia, the Nikkei was up 0.7%, and the Shanghai Index was down 0.7%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.11 at $119.79, CSX up 10 cents at $29.33, Marathon Petroleum down 11 cents at $43.63, AEP up 50 cents at $64.80, AK Steel up 5 cents at $4.11, and Dollar General was down 65 cents to finish at $71.88. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for programming on MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg, presenting a concert with Railroad Earth with special guest Gypsy Moon, 7:30 p.m. on Friday, September 23rd, an evening of Americana Mountain Jam music with Railroad Earth on Friday, September 23rd at the Mountain Arts Center. Tickets and more information at 606-886-2623 and online at macarts.com.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight. You can expect mostly cloudy skies. There's a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows will be in the upper 60s. Your Saturday will be mostly cloudy. There's a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be in the mid-80s. Saturday night will be cloudy. 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows in the mid-60s. Your Sunday will be mostly cloudy. There's a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures will be around 80 degrees. Sunday night will be mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Then clearing up, lows will be in the lower 60s. Monday will be sunny with highs in the lower 80s. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's currently 90 degrees in Ashland, 91 degrees in Lexington, 89 degrees in Flemingsburg, Inez, and Winchester, and it's currently 89 degrees here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Ashley Chapman, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Libby Burton. From the Kentucky News Network, Tom Latek and Haley Hansen. On our feature segment, MSU professor John Modath. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Courtney Howell for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.